Welcome back to Table Talk, folks. We're in Daniel chapter 6. The presidents and the satraps, they're looking to entrap Daniel, but they know they're not going to come up with any dirty laundry, if you will, because he's faithful. No error or fault found in him. And so they're gonna use his faithfulness against him. They devise this little scheme, this little plan, that nobody is to call upon any god other than you, O King Darius, for 30 days. Because they know what Daniel will do, that he will be faithful, that he will do what the second commandment requires, as you mentioned.
And that's in today's society, that's exactly what they're going to do to Christians.
Yep.
They know that the Christians will be faithful. So they'll pass laws that the Christians will break, and boom, you've got them.
That's your weakness. That's the chink in your armor. If you're going to continue to be a Christian, well, you're going to go down. That's what they're thinking, right? And so now they've caught. The trap has been sprung. Daniel is caught in the act, praying to his God.
Yeah.
And King Darius. This is all brought before King Darius. Now, what's the king going to do?
Well, verse 16, the king gives the order. They bring Daniel, and they throw him into the lion's den. And then the king says to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." Now, whether he means it or not, I don't know. But all I've got is the word to go on. So that's very interesting that he would say such a thing. Is he still a syncretist at this point? Could very well be. Well, I've got my gods, you've got yours. So, okay, good luck to you. That could be what's going on here.
Well, if nothing else, I mean, Daniel is valuable to the king.
Right.
I mean, he wouldn't set him up as one of the three presidents over the entire country if he didn't see a value. And in verse 14, the king, when he hears these words, was much distressed, and he set his mind to deliver Daniel.
And couldn't do it.
Labored until the sun went down. Mm-hmm. Labored. That almost reminds me of Jesus, too. Trying to get him off the cross.
The Gethsemane?
Trying to rescue him.
Right.
If you are the Son of God, come down from that cross. Rescue yourself. So here King Darius is trying to rescue Daniel, and yet Daniel has to be, if you will, put to death.
Yeah, yeah. And he's thrown into the den.
He is. And then did you read verse 17?
No.
Stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel.
Okay, I think I know where you're going. Where are
you
going?
Well, this is Jesus language again. I mean, doesn't that, folks, remind you of the sealing of Christ's tomb? Jesus' body is put into the tomb. Daniel's body is put into this hole in this ground, this den, if you will. And then the stone closes the entrance, and it's sealed. And it's even sealed with the signet of the king's ring. Don't mess with this. And so we have Daniel here, who's a type of the Christ here.
Right.
Like Jesus, he's buried in the earth. He's as good as dead.
So it's double. It's you said it, Daniel is a type or a foreshadowing of the Christ when he is buried, dead in the tomb. And then vice versa, or reversing it, because of what God does in Christ, that's why these things happen to God's people. Because remember, the cross follows you when you confess Christ. And so it's no wonder then that the things that happen to Christ then happen to his people. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that Daniel is the Christ. He's certainly not. And what happens to Daniel doesn't save anyone before God.
But
he's not the Savior.
Right, right.
But it points to the Savior. And what the Savior does, then the things that happen to him also happen to us, so that our faith is strengthened in him all the more.
Because the Daniel who's put into the hole, put into the ground, like Jesus will be, he trusts in that Jesus. He trusts in that Jesus who will conquer death. So when the king says to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you."
Little does he know.
Daniel probably said, "Amen." He will. I trust that he will. Okay, whether it is, he delivers me from the mouth of these lions, or he just delivers me from death.
From the grave itself.
Right, because, I'm as good as dead.
And that's why Jesus then prays Psalm 22 when he's on the cross. And that's why we rejoiced when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fire furnace. And they said, "Well, doesn't matter if you put us in there or not. And the Lord, if he saves us, great. If he doesn't, well, he'll still rescue us anyway from death." And it reminds us of Abraham when he's told to give up his son Isaac. Oh, he'll come back.
Yep.
He'll come back.
See, I was trying to think as we were talking here in Hebrews 11. It doesn't have a by faith Daniel.
Oh, it's alluded to.
Is it though? Okay.
It's alluded to. Yeah. So talk some more while I look up the Hebrews text.
Oh, see, I knew you were going to do that. Because, you know, I cannot multitask people.
Yeah,
I was trying
I
to think
either.
Of that because we've been going through this in Bible class.
It is. It's alluded to.
Okay.
Here it is. Where
because it would have been a great one. If I was the author of Hebrews, I would have put it in there.
Yeah, Hebrews 11, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Looking at verse 33, well, before that it mentions Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, Samuel, David, and the prophets. Verse 33, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions. I think that's an allusion here to Daniel. And also, quenched the fury of the flames could also be an allusion to
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yeah. So I can't prove that, but...
Well, I'm going with it.
Okay, well,
because by faith, Daniel says, okay, whatever. I'm a dead man. I'm as good as dead, but I'm a free man.
It's just like,
because I'm raised to life again.
And that's you and me. We have already died. In, with, and under the death of Christ. His death counted for all. So we've already died. And we've been buried with Christ into that Good Friday death, Romans 6, in holy baptism. And therefore, we have been raised up with him in his resurrection. And when he ascended, we sit with him in the heavenly realms. This is what Paul teaches the Ephesians. And that's what the book of Revelation teaches us as well. Same thing.
So folks, do not fear. So when we were talking earlier about the persecution that indeed will come. So you need not fear dying if somebody would come into your church with a suicide vest on and blow. Because even though you die, yet shall you live. You've already died with Christ. Okay? If somebody takes you out in the alleyway and pummels you to death because you confess to be a Christian, well, that's okay. You've already died. You've already been rescued from death in Christ Jesus.
And we always like to talk in extremes. Let's tone it down just a little bit. We, since we have already died with Christ and been raised with him and sit with him in the heavenly realms, when somebody says, hey, keep that to yourself, you know, it's okay for you to believe in Jesus, but keep it to yourself. Don't bring that to the school board meeting. You can politely say, no, I'm a Christian, and it informs how I believe and how I act. So I'm going to continue to say what I say. Or if you run for public office and people try to demonize you as being a Christian, you can say, yeah, I am, and I'm proud of it. And all my decisions are going to be informed by God's will and God's word.
Because God says this is good,
right.
Not just for me, but it's good for you too.
And you're a free man or a free woman because you've already died. So they can do anything they want to you. So don't be afraid if they demonize you in public or snicker, laugh, you know, and make fun of you and mock you like they did with Jesus. It's okay. You're free, just like Daniel here. I love this. I just love it.
So Daniel's buried in the earth, if you will. He's as good as dead. I mean, think about that.
Yeah, he is.
Locked up with the lions.
Verse 18, the king goes back to his palace, spends the night, have something to eat. No, can't do it. I don't feel like it. I can't eat a thing. Okay, let's bring in the belly dancers. No, thank you. I just don't feel like it. Yeah, but they're your favorite. We'll bring in the most beautiful ones there are in the kingdom, your favorites. Nope, I'm not in the mood.
How about some warm milk so you can sleep?
Yeah. And he can't sleep. He cannot sleep. You know, I think you mentioned earlier that he knows Daniel is very valuable, practically and humanly speaking, but I think there's more to it than that. He knows that he has violated God's will. Because Daniel has no doubt talked to him about who the one true God is. And what he's going to do for the world. And boy, what he's done here. You know, it's kind of like someone who sins. And, you know, you name the sin. And you can't sleep at night. And the temptation is, God can never forgive me for what I've done. Can you imagine how he's probably talking to himself here, Darius?
Oh, yeah.
I can never be forgiven for this. What I've done to Daniel is so unjust. And how I've sinned against God in
this. I have taken the life of an innocent man.
Right.
He's like a pilot here. He's like a pilot here who also is struggling with this whole thing. He's innocent, he's innocent, he's innocent. And yet...
Yeah, so can any good can come from this? I wonder. Well, let's read on. Verse 19. At the first light of dawn, before the roosters crow, if you will, the king, he gets up, goes to the lion's den, and the text says he hurries.
Sounds like a sunrise service.
Yeah,
Easter morning. We have women hurrying to the tomb. We have the apostles who run in haste to the tomb.
I love that.
So we, once again, this is that the Jesus language, the reminders of the Christ.
I love that. That is so delicious, Scott. That is so good. Yeah, that he's like the Marys and the women who run to the tomb at first break of dawn.
And run really in fear.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because they know that he's...
Or in despair, who run in mourning.
Yeah.
Who do not run in the joy of faith, if you will.
Well, yeah, or you know, what do we make of this?
Right.
What are we to make of this?
What will we find?
And that's why I said, can any good come from this?
I mean, King Darius, can you imagine what he expected to find? What a gruesome sight he expected to find.
There'd just be blood on the floor and bones, a few bones probably.
Yeah.
That'd be all that would be left.
No Daniel.
I mean, they'd lick up most of the blood. All you'd see would be stains of the blood. So verse 20, he comes near the den and he calls to Daniel in an anguished voice. Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to rescue you from the lions? And the last thing that you would expect to hear at a lion's den would be Daniel's voice. Just like the women at the tomb.
Yep.
The last thing they expect to hear is somebody's voice.
Expect it to be quiet.
And they expect to see...
Graveyard quiet.
And death. Death. They expect to see death.
I like how the king calls Daniel the servant of the living God.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, see, there again. I think he's been taught.
Yeah. He's probably been hanging around Daniel.
when we all get to heaven, we have the resurrection of the body, and if we get a chance to get Daniel aside, who knows, he'll be so busy talking about these events that happened in his life to all the bigwigs in heaven that I don't know if we'll have time. We'll have to stand clear at the back of the line and listen real carefully.
Well, we might have to sidle up to Darius if he's there.
Yeah,
ask him these questions.
He'll probably be right there. they'll be, dare I say it, smoking Cubans and having a nice drink and laughing about all of it, saying that it was all redeemed and reconciled in the blood of somebody else, namely the blood of the Lamb.
Right.
Well, so Daniel answers, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouth of the lions. They haven't hurt me. I was innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king.
Once again, he sends his angels to deliver his people, to protect them from harm and danger, right? That your holy angel may watch over us.
Yeah, the morning and evening prayer
right. In
the catechism. And of course, Psalm 91, in fulfillment of that promise, lest you dash your foot against a stone. He gives his angels charge over you. And that's what's happening here. And for you folks as well.
Right, we see it with Daniel. It happens in your, but it's all because it's all fulfilled in Christ, isn't it?
Yeah. So the king is overjoyed, gives orders to have Daniel taken out of the den. And when he's lifted out, everyone's surprised there's not a wound on him because he's trusted in his God.
I like that language too. It reminds me not only of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who come out of the furnace and they don't even have a whiff of smoke smell to them. I mean, my wife has a sensitive nose. She would pick it up. But here, not a scratch, not a kitty cat scratch on Daniel.
Yeah.
And yet, notice the language. He was taken up out of the den. He's literally resurrected from this hole in the ground, if you will.
Right.
Once again, resurrection language.
See, you're very good at this. I love this because this is so delicious. I have to use that word again. Daniel is a type of our Lord Jesus Christ and what happens to him. Dead and raised. And now you too, who are in Christ. You are dead and raised to new life. I love it. Well, so he says, this is, I'm looking back, verse 24.
Mm-hmm.
At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in, and they were then thrown into the lion's den along with their wives and children. And that's what they did in the ancient world. And so that's what happens. And before they reach the floor of the den, the lions overpower them and crush all their bones.
Unlike Jesus, who in his death not a bone was broken, like the Paschal Lamb. Once again, this is the one who defeats and destroys death. He's victor over death. He is the innocent one.
Now, this also serves as an example to those who, in league with Antichrist, those who oppose God and his church, this will be their end as well. So the church does not despair. We do not despair because Jesus is the victor, And Daniel gives us a whiff of that one, if you will.
So the Lord preserves and protects his holy church. He preserves and protects you in times of persecution. And he gives you a place of refuge where you are safe. That is, in the death and resurrection of his own Son, Jesus Christ. Peace be with you.